And now in getting to the message, I'd like to turn to Job chapter 5. Job does not cease to amaze me in some of the writings that Job put forth. It is said that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but some of the sayings in Job make me think that he would be close behind. We know that God's word is infallible, and don't know if the things that God revealed to Job, you know, exactly if he wrote these things because God moved his hand or what. But Job has a lot of things that he says that are very deep. And the title for the message I've chosen today is Happiness. And in the bulletin that we have, joy comes in the morning. Joy is something that we could say is deep in the heart and is put there by God, and it comes out in a life which we known as a man that or a woman that is happy. What do you think causes happiness? What do you think creates happiness in your life? What makes it that sometimes in your heart you just feel happy? You just feel like putting a smile on your face. And when you relate to other people, you know, they just smile about that. Wow, that person is happy. How can we, as we relate to each other, can relate in a way that would create happiness even in others? But here in Job chapter 5, in verse 17, he says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." And with that, we have to think of Hebrews. There's a very similar verse in Hebrews where it says, "Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Don't see the word happiness here, but we know that when we can really feel that we are the sons of God and that God loves us, even when he is chastening us, that would create joy and happiness, just to know that. But here Job says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." And isn't that simply the way that Job lived in his life when God took away all that he had, so to speak, except his wife, and she said, "Curse God and die." And Job saying here, "Behold, look." Really, really notice this, that the man whom God correcteth is happy. "Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee." And it makes me think here that no matter how many troubles you have, God is out to make that whole. He's out to make it okay. And he's out to give you peace and so on. "He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole." Is that something that we can really realize when the things that we would like to have in life seem to just slip away from us, but that very thing God is wanting to make whole in your life? You think something needs to be repaired. Well, God wants to repair it. But if we don't get a hold of this thing of happiness and what creates happiness, God can't repair it. Would that be correct to say that? Because happiness is a choice. It is a choice that we make. It's not something that just happens. It does not come from winning the lottery. And we know that. There's so many testimonies out there of people who've won the lottery, and they say in the end, it was not worth it. People hounded me half to death for my money. And when I wouldn't give them money, I became friendless. You don't make friends with money, or not lasting friends anyway. When we went to prison service this last time, Brother Ralph had a devotional on setbacks. And he brought out about what setbacks can do for us in life. Now, when you have a setback, we have a God who wants to bring a comeback. Will you let him? Well, there is a certain way that there's a certain thing that we must do for happiness to come into our life. And I'm talking about a true happiness that God can bless, that God is pleased with. And I wonder what you would say if I asked you the question, what is it in life that makes you happy? What is the thing in life that makes you happy? The thing that puts a smile on your face. Is it just to not have trouble? Is it just to not have this ailment that I've got? Is it when you get out of a financial bind? Is it that new car or truck or children? Is it that new toy that makes you happy? Job here does have the answer. And sometimes we need to do a little bit of arithmetic here. He says here, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Okay, when God corrects you, what is it that you must do? Us parents, we know that when we discipline our children, that there is something that has to happen in that child's heart for that child to be happy again. What is it? And you have seen it. When you correct your children and you would spank them or maybe make them stand in a corner. Teachers, you know this too, that when there is a punishment that has to go to one of your pupils, what is it that happens in that person's heart when they turn around and are happy then after the punishment? What is it that when a dad spanks his child and that child turns around, yes, he cries for a while, but then he comes and says, I love you, Daddy. What happened in that child's heart? Yes, he repented of his sin. That's true. And repentance, that's a very good one. But the word that I'm wanting to have here is acceptance. There was a survey that was done of 275,000 people. And they boiled down that happiness comes from acceptance. So what are the things in life that you are not accepting? For that little child to be happy, he had to accept and embrace the punishment. And sometimes you may have been punished when you were innocent. And you would think, I did not deserve that punishment. Have you ever been punished or disciplined by your school teacher or your parents or someone when you knew in your mind that I did not do that? I did not deserve to be punished. And then it could drag on and on and on, and you could become bitter. But if you would just accept the fact that you make mistakes, I'm talking to the little children here, all of us make mistakes. And sometimes Daddy and Mama make mistakes. Do you realize that? Because we're human. Mom and daddy are not perfect. But you're not perfect either, are you? You're not. So therefore, if your daddy gives you a punishment and you know that you did not do that, just accept that punishment. And you might be able to realize that my daddy made a mistake, but I make mistakes too, so I'm just going to forgive daddy and go on. When you really accept that, you can be happy in spite of what happened. I know there's times. There's one time that my dad severely disciplined me, and I didn't do it. My brother had done it. And I felt that was so unjust, and I was so hurt, you know, by that, and so on and on and on. But when I came to the place where I accepted it, I could be happy in spite of that happening. But see, all of us make mistakes. And there's one thing that I had to recognize and admit about my dad, and that was his intent was to work for my good. He really thought I did it. And therefore, he acted on it. So if we look at the intent of a person, then we will realize that it's not so much the point, did I deserve it or not? The point is that the person who punished me is looking out for my good, and he's trying to give me what he thinks is best for me to help me in life. Suppose you would always just be punished by the letter of the law. Suppose if you would always just be punished simply by the letter of the law instead of somebody looking at you with your heart and punishing you according. Well, you know, my dad looked at me with his heart, and his intent was to help me because he thought I did it. Suppose your dad, you know, cows need to be milked at a certain time. Is that right? And maybe you had this problem of not doing your chores on time, putting it off and putting it off and putting it off until finally, you know, the cow is supposed to be milked at 5 o'clock generally, and it would go till 7 o'clock. And because you were lazy, you just did not feel like going to do those chores, so you just waited and waited. And you know, it doesn't get better. It just gets worse the longer you wait. But suppose your dad would finally say, enough is enough. If that cow is not milked by 5 o'clock, when it's supposed to be, if it's not milked by 5 o'clock, I will punish you. So you go and milk the cow. And the next evening, it's 5 o'clock, you go to milk the cow. Well, the cow's not there. So you go out and try to find the cow, and you just can't find the cow. And you look and look all over the place for the cow, and finally you find her at 7 o'clock. So you milk her real quick, and you come up there with the milk, and there's Dad. And he says, why did you not milk the cow at 7 o'clock? I've got to punish you. So he punishes you without hearing your story because you did not milk her at 5 o'clock, like he said. Or would you want your dad to look into this matter and see why you did not milk her at 5 o'clock? You had a good reason this time for not milking her because you couldn't find her. That is what happens when a parent punishes you by the letter of the law and does not look into the situation to see what your needs are. Now, that is exactly what we have in heaven. We have a Father who does not judge you by the letter of the law. He looks and knows your heart, and he punishes you according to what he feels you need. So why should we not accept the chastening and the punishment that God gives? That's where the secret is in finding true happiness, and that is in acceptance. Now, suppose your dad, you know, in punishing you because you didn't milk the cow when he said, he went ahead and punished you. And maybe you would think, I have a right to carry a grudge about that for a long time. Because my dad unfairly punished you. And he would have unfairly punished you. But what if you would know that my dad is trying to help me do my chores on time? And he made a mistake there. But he's trying to help me, and so you accept that. And when you accept that, you can be happy in spite of being wrongly punished. Can you understand that? Does that make sense? So sometimes when you're saying, I didn't do it, and your dad or mom punishes you, let's look at that thing that she is really trying to look out for your good. She's trying to help you in life. And maybe, sometimes, you know, we create a track record. Do you know what a track record is? A track record is like, how have you been living for the last, say, 6 months? How have you been living? You create your own track record. If you make a habit of being late with the chores, if you make a habit of that, that's what you'll be known by. And that's another thing that came out in the survey of happiness, and that is when habits were formed that were conducive to happiness. Happiness comes from habits. So if you want happiness, you've got to create good habits. In fact, when things come to you in life, you've got to automatically have this habit of looking on the good side of it. In other words, or looking at what the intent was of somebody in the way they related to you. Very important. Another thing in acceptance, and for you to be happy, and that is to accept how people are instead of trying to make them who you think they should be. If I have a problem with a brother, and I tell myself that the problem is him, and so I've got to change him into the person who I think he should be. Talk about making things miserable for you and the other person. Now that brings misery into relationships. And relationships that just will not work. So another thing in the survey was the simple fact that you have to let somebody be who they are and who God made them to be instead of trying to change them. The thing you can do is change yourself. And when you accept that other person for who he is, there can be happiness in that relationship. But if you don't accept it, you're in for tension. You're in for problems. You're in for mistrust, suspicion. All those different things that can come into relationships. So it brought out that acceptance is the thing that matters the most in relationships that people have with each other. So Job, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Happy is that man. So happiness, he's saying, comes from correction. And what is correction? It's when you have done something, or maybe you're traveling this certain road and you need to be corrected. You need to find a new road. Here, when we were traveling to Indiana, I bought this GPS thing just lately that I thought was really going to be good, you know, more up to date, and also it was brand new, and put it in the van, and when we took off for Indiana, there was like 100 miles that we were going across the fields, according to that thing. I mean, the road, you know, I was in the middle of a field and I was on the road. So it's like this thing was constantly trying to turn me around. And whenever I'd cross a road, that it would zip, you know, you need to go over there. And there wasn't even a place to get off the road. So sometimes you will have, you know, these modern technology things that you better not listen to them. But it stood out to me that this road here that the Bible talks about, it'll never do that to you. It always knows. The Bible always knows. And he says here, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. The only way that we have to not despise the chastening of the Almighty is to accept what he brings into our life. Acceptance. Now back in Genesis, the first time I believe that you hear the word happy or happiness was when Jacob's wife Leah found out that she's going to have a baby. And she said, happy am I. In other words, things were coming her way. It was coming her way exactly what she wanted. She desperately wanted a baby. And it developed into this thing of between Leah and Rachel, almost like a war in their relationship. And Leah was so happy because she could have children, and she did not give a flip if Rachel could have children or not. She didn't care about Rachel. Those are just simply examples in the Bible when a man had two wives or more than one wife, and it just made trouble. It's things that God allowed, but it was not his divine perfect plan. But Leah was so happy when she found out that she could have a baby. And you know, if Rachel would have been able to find acceptance, she could have been happy. But Rachel was so dwelling on the fact that she could not have children that she became very unhappy and would have just as soon died as to live. Because she felt everybody can see that I'm not able to have a baby, and so I just might as well die. That was Rachel's attitude. But Leah, things were coming her way, so she said, happy am I. Was Leah really happy in the middle of such a relationship that she was having with somebody else? It was not true happiness. So sometimes we may think that happiness comes just because I'm having my way and somebody else has to give up. But that's not where happiness is. Leah was not really telling the truth. She had some kind of surface happiness, and she had a smile on her face, I'm sure. Maybe she was laughing pretty loud. I don't know. But as soon as things did not go the way Leah wanted, then she was grumpy and she was unhappy and so on. So if you're the type of person can only be happy when things are coming your way, the way you feel it, that's not real happiness. It's not joy in your heart that springs out in happiness. Because Job here saying, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. So we need to realize that when God is bringing correction into our lives, right in there is where happiness is. But our DNA is so different. Our DNA is saying that when I get my way, then I can be happy. Then everything will be okay. But that's a lie. That's what the devil might want you to believe. In Psalms 144:15, he says there that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When you really own the Lord, and you really, you know that you are owned by God, and that whatever God brings into my life, I'm going to be accepted and I'm going to be happy, and that becomes your habit. That is a person that is happy in life, and it's a person that other people are going to be looking for an example, because it is rooted in God's word as to how that person relates to it. In Proverbs 29:18, he says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now there is, the world will tell you that if I have no restrictions and I can just live kind of however I please. That's where happiness comes. The Word of God is saying just the opposite. It's saying that the law that the Word of God has, if I accept that and come under that, then I can be happy. Has nothing to do with what all I have the freedom to go do and say and wear and all of those things. Happiness has nothing to do with that. But it has to do that when we accept a law, is it the church or God? The church is Christ's body. We are his flesh and bones. So if the church has some rules there, you're not going to find happiness by going against that or trying to cast that away and going and doing what your flesh pleases to do. You will not find happiness. He's saying here in this verse that if there is a law or a rule made and you accept that, when you really truly accept that, then you can be happy. That's the kind of happiness that I want. And remember the Apostle Paul, when he went to speak in front of King Agrippa, Paul said, I am happy. And the reason Paul was happy was because he was able to tell King Agrippa what was in his heart in the hopes that King Agrippa would accept it and be saved. That was what made Paul happy. Look at the bonds that Paul had. Look at the thing that he had hanging over him that I've got to go see Caesar, Augustus, and likely be killed. Paul did not even look at that. What made Paul happy was simply that he had the freedom to go tell others about Jesus Christ and what Christ has done for him. So when he was talking to King Agrippa and he was telling him what, when he was traveling to Damascus to kill the Christians, that there was this great light that came in the middle of the day, shone as the sun, and knocked him flat, basically knocked him out, so to speak. Paul was so happy that he was able to tell the king this story in hopes that the king would accept Jesus Christ. And the king did say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. But we know that almost is not enough. But the Apostle Paul made the attempt there with the help of God. And he wanted him to know why he was so happy. And King Agrippa, I believe he felt it. I believe he felt it in the words that the Apostle Paul spoke to him. He could see that this man, he was in chains before him, but he was a free man. He was free. So literal chains don't have anything to do with happiness. It is a condition of the heart where you receive that happiness because of the joy of the Lord. And it comes in accepting my lot in life. Comes in accepting the things that you cannot change. And I'm sure y'all are very familiar with the Serenity Prayer. God, help me to accept the things I cannot change. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. If we don't have the wisdom to know the difference, there are things that we could easily change, but we won't change them. And there would be things, on the other hand, that we can't change, but we're trying to change them. So we need to have this spot right at the right place where here are things that I can change for the better. And here are things I cannot change, so they must be accepted. That saying is, I must say, is my favorite. Just lately I bought a motto with that on it. And it has been something that I have tried to use as a guide for my life. And it is where the secret of happiness is. That saying is not in the Bible in a verse, but it is what the Bible teaches. The chastening of the Lord can be grievous, but afterwards it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. And we know when we're exercised by it that God loves us and that we are his son. It says if we're without chastisement, then we are bastards and not sons. So God is in heaven. He looks down and he sees our needs and he brings correction and chastening to us. And Job said, in that is happiness. But we can't do it without accepting those things. It's just when we accept them. In John 13 is a scripture that we read whenever we have communion and do feet washing. And we read that scripture. And the last verse in that piece that we read, Jesus here says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. That's very simple. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So, when we practice washing feet, sisters back there and brethren in the basement, the way we have it set up, when we do that, and we realize what we're doing, we know them, when we do that, we become a happy people. And you know, when we actually fulfill that commandment, it's not that we are to just practice that twice a year, whenever we have communion, so to speak. It's something that we must make a part of our life and practice every day. It's when your little child asks for a cup of cold water and you give that to them. It's when you see that your brother has a need. Is it a flat tire or a tractor that doesn't work or any other thing? There is a need and you stop to help him with that. You are practicing this very thing where Jesus said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In closing here, just a couple of verses I'd like to read. In 1 Peter 3:14, he says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So he's saying here, suffering for the kingdom of God's sake, or suffering for what is right, happy are ye. And then in 1 Peter, in chapter 4, in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. We enjoyed being at the minister's meeting. And one of the ministers there made the comment that with the way that things are going today, he believes that within the next 15 years, there's going to be numerous people who are going to be sitting in prison because of what we believe. And so far we have had, and I must say when I look at my own life, we have had basically a life of ease. And how would I relate to that if that would all change? And things would become hard just because I'm wanting to live my conscience. But the law of the land would take preeminence over that and say, no, you can't do that. You're going to prison. We do know, I don't claim to know exactly what all is going on, but I do know that things are changing with how people look at things. I'm talking about the law of the land. Things are changing. There are people now who say they could not conscientiously help with a gay wedding. And when they refuse to help or contribute to that, they get in trouble for it. And that is happening more and more. I just talked to a Southern Baptist minister yesterday who recognized the very same thing. And they are enacting things in their Southern Baptist Constitution to avoid these things from happening. He feels like changing times is making them aware, so they are putting things in place to avoid that very thing from happening. And at the same time, they are not giving up on the fact of what the Bible teaches about gay couples. That is a sinful lifestyle and is not to be accepted in any shape or form. And so I'm not sure what all they are putting in place, but they recognize the trouble that is coming and they're trying to avoid it. And I'm not sure what is being enacted, what is being done, I'm not sure. But I don't believe that it's going to be in our best interest to try to do some things here just so we can stay out of prison. I think we need to be very, very careful with that we're not compromising in some way just to stay out of prison. We don't believe in going out and being forceful and try to make other people live as we believe. That's just not right. We don't believe in that. We need to have the tolerance to allow them to live the lifespan, the lifestyle that they choose to live, but leave that out there. We don't need to hate them. That's not scriptural. We need to love them. But the message that we have here is follow the Jesus way. And let's not compromise from that. Following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you really made up your mind to follow Jesus? But this preacher was saying that at the minister's meeting, that he believes in the next 15 years it's going to become more and more numerous of our people sitting in jail because of living our faith. So I don't know what's ahead, but I have every reason to be happy. Because if things like that happen, it's in that where we find happiness. It's what the Bible says. If we are reproached, if we are chastened, if we are knocked down by the system of this world, however it is, we can still be happy if we are faithful to the things that the Bible teaches us. Let's kneel to pray.